With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. A full-size limestone quarry is planned for Meade County, and residents are largely opposed to the mine. However, the county board may have its hands tied. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
In attendance were dozens of landowners concerned about property values, conservationists angling for wise use of the Black Hills, and mothers of children with lung conditions, all advocating against the mine that would blast soot into the air and displace the nature within. Somerset resident Brandon Scott, like many attendees, rejects the NIMBY title applied to his opposition. He says he understands the point of the 300-plus acre mine, but not the location.
This entire area has beautiful Minnetonka limestone. That's great mining material for making roads. We need to build roads, but we also need a place to live. And we chose to live in a place that is residential. Right now, turning this into a commercial industrial place completely goes against what the county has already set up for their vision.
In 2025, tourism represents the state's number two industry, particularly in the Black Hills. Scott says, economically, the gold rush has ended.
Our stance is a pro-growth stance. If you go and you destroy the things that bring people to the Black Hills, people will stop coming. If we want to destroy the entrance to the Black Hills, I guess that's on us. And that's something that we'll have to live with.
There is an issue for opposition, though. The vast rural character of Meade County means it has no zoning policy and even less appetite for one from residents. The last attempt at establishing one over a decade ago was trounced by 8 out of 10 local voters. For County Commissioner Talbot Wittorek, residents need to look at what zoning can do for their areas before it's too late. Without resounding Meade County rejection in mind, though, he says it needs to come from voters.
This mine would not be going here. The pressure out of Rapids is not going to stop. The industrialization is not going to stop. But we're at where the people have spoken. We want to get the zoning. I think it's got to be a groundswell.
The mine's proposed location is in the Piedmont Valley area of the eastern foothills. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Sturgis.
A legislative committee created to boost trade relations and business for South Dakotans says its latest mission to Ireland revealed some economic insights and opportunity. Here's a look at the most recent South Dakota-Ireland Trade Commission meeting. The commission was created in 2024 and aims to expand academic, business, and other opportunities between the two governments. Some South Dakota legislators, private industry leaders, and members of the executive branch visited Ireland in August as part of a trade mission with South Dakota Trade. Hunter Roberts is the secretary of the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources and on the commission. He says he doesn't see much trade potential, saying South Dakota's greatest economic opportunity lies on the direct investment side.
I guess my perception is they're going to leverage and seem like they're going to leverage EU trade barriers to help their industries more than fair trade across the line. And we produce a lot of the same stuff they do. So I don't see, on the ag side especially, I don't see huge opportunities for trade there. You know, leveraging their market access to the EU for ancillary type trade through South Dakota businesses on the more traditional business, not the ag side, I think there is probably some opportunity.
The trade group did visit a poultry farm that imports soybean meal, and commissioners said that was one opportunity in Ireland that could benefit the agriculture industry in South Dakota. Representative Steve Duffy is on the commission. He says he's hoping Ireland can give South Dakota greater market and business access to the European Union, adding that the state has more opportunity beyond just agriculture.
We do trust work. We do trust in this state. We do banking in this state that is significant, and I don't know if there's any cross-pollination with the European Union or any of that stuff that Ireland can get us into.
The commission also looked ahead to the 2026 legislative session and future plans for the group. Jesse Fonkert is the CEO and president of South Dakota Trade.
What do we do next and what's created? I think, you know, we went there, we should see these guys come here more.
The South Dakota-Ireland Trade Commission expressed a desire to invite some of the Irish delegation to visit Peer during legislative session, with details to be hashed out at a later date. The South Dakota Department of Social Services will not fund the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, or SNAP, program if the federal government shutdown extends past November 1st. That would leave over 74,000 South Dakotans in limbo if Congress can't come to an agreement on a funding package. This comes after the USDA announced the federal government wouldn't fund the program beyond October. On its website, the USDA claims, quote, the well has run dry and places blame on Senate Democrats. While SNAP funding comes from the federal government, states administer the benefits. In a statement to SDPB, the South Dakota Department of Social Services confirmed recipients wouldn't receive benefits in November. The statement added that the federal government will not reimburse states that choose to fund the benefits themselves. Some states, like New York, have still chosen to do so. Avera is partnering with Emily's Hope, a Sioux Falls-based nonprofit, to make free naloxone, more commonly called Narcan, available at Avera sites in South Dakota. Narcan is a nasal spray used to reverse the effects of opioid overdoses. Naloxone distribution boxes are being installed at the Avera Behavioral Health Urgent Care and Avera McKinnon Hospital and University Health Center Emergency Department in Sioux Falls. Another box is built at Avera Sacred Heart Hospital Emergency Department in Yankton. Smaller naloxone kits are being made available at Avera locations around South Dakota. Emily's Hope will continue to stock the distribution boxes. U.S. Senator Mike Rounds is accepting applications from college students to serve as interns for the spring 2026 semester. Positions in D.C., Rapid City, Pierre, and Sioux Falls are available. Interns work with constituents and Rounds staff, gain an in-depth understanding of a Senate office and other responsibilities. The spring internship typically runs from January to May, but dates can be tailored to specific schedules if needed. Rounds' office says interns receive a stipend and college credit. Interested students can apply at rounds.senate.gov. With fall comes corn harvest season, and the USDA is projecting one of the largest corn yields in U.S. history. I spent the day with farmers near Bridgewater as they hurry to empty the fields in hopes of filling their pockets. Ross Glanzer walks on his land in Bridgewater with corn husks from already combined land crunching beneath him. Glanzer raises corn and soybeans and also runs a cow-calf operation. He says it's been a good harvest for his corn and beans despite some hail and wind damage. However, as he looks to sell the crop, prices aren't where he'd like.
We'd love to see a four in front of it. We're a ways away from that on what we're delivering right now.
It's hard to know what to expect when planting in the spring, and this year's no different. With tariffs placed by the Trump administration having been the focal point for producers, Glanzer says a lot is chalked up to risk management.
Selling ahead, there's what's called carry in the market right now, so I have bin space at home where today if I was taking it to town, to the ethanol plant here, you're getting, you know, roughly $3.60 a bushel. But if I would forward contract it to sell out of my bin for June delivery, you get 50 cents more a bushel right now, so, you know, right around $4.10 a bushel, so just things like that. As far as, you know, farming, you know, we do have other risk management tools. Crop insurance is a big thing. When we planted this spring, these yields that we have didn't seem like you were going to get them.
He finishes saying, if you don't put it in the ground, you can't grow a crop. About 100 yards away, David Schrog is combining corn. He and Ross share equipment from time to time. Schrog says the conditions for corn are a welcome sign. However, that comes with its challenges.
You know, nobody has really, very few people have enough storage for all of it. Yeah, it's the nicest crop I've ever had, corn crop.
He says normally he likes to sell about 30 to 40% of his crop ahead. That didn't happen this year, coming closer to 15, 20%.
Normally, yes, but this year there was just never a time to get above the cost of production and, you know, to get a good price. And so this is the least ahead I've ever had sold. So I guess we'll just have to wait. Some of it's just going in the bin, and hopefully the price will come back.
Schrog says what he'd like to see is the cost of inputs come down.
Fertilizer to replace, to put on a yield replacement, like our MAP or MES, is way higher than last year. Fertilizer prices are going up, and we would love for corn and bean price to go up to match it.
He goes on saying where higher inputs hit is the bottom line.
Oh, it'll hurt. I mean, you know, the temptation is, I mean, do you put fertilizer removal on, or do you cut back a little bit because fertilizer is expensive? So you have to make those decisions. I mean, you can't do that every year, back off on fertilizer, and then it hurts your fertility, and then your yields will go down.
Corn prices could go up, but as Schrog explains, it's not likely to happen.
A drought, a nationwide drought, and corn will start going up limit every day, but I mean, that won't happen now for a long time.
So until then, he's going to keep combining and storing what corn he can. The rest, he'll take to town or the ethanol plant NuGen in Marion to see what money he can get back. About a mile down the road, Lyndon Hofer and his son-in-law, Lee Dockendorf, are at work. They echo Schrock's concerns. Lyndon Hofer says the bottom line isn't there this year.
Inputs or everything else is still high. To me, that's one of the major things. Everybody complains about the low prices. They are low, but we work on a margin, so if our expenses are high, all the inputs, seed, fertilizer, chemical, we're way out of line for this price. I mean, if the price was down, that's down. We work on a margin so you can make a profit. Right now, there is absolutely no profit whatsoever in beans, not even close. So, you do what you got to do, but it's discouraging.
Lee Dockendorf puts it simply.
Well, fertilizer is definitely a factor. The seed slowly crept up with the prices the last few years, and now that the prices are down, seed and chemical prices don't want to come down. Everything went up, and only prices came down, not the inputs, too.
At another field nearby, Carlin Hofer's combining corn while her husband Daryl drives to the NuGen ethanol plant to drop off a truckload. She says they've had a good season.
The farmer is the ultimate optimist. You go out and you plant. Well, then it started raining, very timely rains. Lord sent those rains and they just kept coming and nothing big at a time. I mean, just nice rains.
Daryl says they take a percentage of their corn and lock in an average price to sell forward in the fall. A lot of farmers do this to hedge their bets.
This year and last year it worked good, but if it would be a shorter crop, then the price would go up. So you just do a percentage so you get kind of averaged out.
However, he says with the price of seed corn at nearly $100 an acre and land taxes at $30 to $40 an acre and fertilizer up, the cost you put in right now is a lot. But you have to take the good with the bad.
We've been farming for, 50 years, and we bought some land, had some from our folks and stuff. You know, there's dry years, it was pretty rough, but now at the end, we don't have as many expenses, and especially land expense. We pay rent to my sister. She owns some of this land. And yeah, it's tight. And I'm sure this year if the expenses we aren't getting back what we have expenses, but hopefully it'll average out sometime.
So while the price per bushel isn't high, the farmers here in Bridgewater are continuing to fill up their trucks with corn following a good harvest, hoping they'll see a foreign front soon. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Bridgewater. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.